Ready to rumble.
And rumbling, rumbling, rumbling. Clearly I'm a musician.
Obviously.
My
you've got an excellent, excellent
voice. The voice of the gods.
Voice of the gods.
Did you not hear?
I wouldn't get that excited about yourself.
It was pretty awful.
Yeah.
All right, people. This is CFD After Dark. Yakima / Kennewick edition.
Oh, yeah.
I am Phil Kerrigan, the program manager of the Combined Fun Drive, as always, and this is...
Jerrica Ferguson, who handles marketing and development for the Washington State Combined Fun Drive.
Boom. She sure does.
Yeah, I do. Yas, queen.
So, we are not just out in Yakima and Kennewick just to drive around seeing the sights of the state of Washington. We are actually training our local coordinators in both Yakima and Kennewick. Mm-hmm. We had a really good training today in Yakima. We had about 20 folks show up to really good solid training.
It was an excellent training. I love going and like actually listening to like volunteers talk about questions because you always get something new. Or like it's like today, or you always get new ideas about like how to like promote mm-hmm. like payroll mm-hmm. contribution yeah. or like the desk right next to the elevator. Those kind of things are just always excellent. Like just hearing something new that yeah. we can give to different local yeah. coordinators or just campaign leaders are always excellent to hear.
I think it's really fun to watch a room that has never really heard of the Combined Fund Drive or interacted very well, maybe are not quite sure what it is that they're doing, and to watch that room as training goes kind of switch over to... Now they're pumped. Now they have a goal. Now they have this sort of thing.
You know what I think is even greater than that, though, is when no... Like, you know, like, when you get on a bus or you're in a line and, like, no one talks to you? Mm-hmm. Like, when people walk into these trainings, everyone's like, I can't sit next to a single person. I don't know who you are. And it, like, gets clicky. And then all of a sudden we're like, all right, and we're doing trivia.
Yeah, I know.
And everyone's like, oh, I have to interact.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, people are like... We're best friends. We're friends on Facebook
really
now.
Cool.
And you're like, and it goes from a room that no one knew who each other was
yeah.
to all of a sudden, like, we're best friends. We're sitting right next to each other. People are like scooting closer for
yep.
like the games that we're doing, the learning experiences. People are interacting with one another, asking questions, whether they've done this for 20 years or whether mm-hmm. they just got voluntold to do it 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of the coolest things of, like, where you see the group.
Totally agree.
No one knows each other, and at the end, it's, like, everyone's, like, great
yeah.
friends trying to
yeah.
plan things for upcoming events
yeah.
together.
Yeah, I love a room that starts dead silent, and then it yeah. ends up being a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about in the realm of food. I feel like
first off, that's an hour.
I feel like we've been on a whole, like, eat, pray, love-esque
I am all about around. That life.
Absolutely.
I have never been fuller and yet happier Excellent. Than I've ever been in this moment.
People who listen to this podcast, the three people who are still listening to this podcast.
Mom, Dad, and Philip's dad.
Mom. Dad. Yeah, my dad.
Not your mom. We've realized that your mom doesn't listen.
Right, but for those who actually do listen, like, today and yesterday... We're so, like, you need to start paying attention to the food that's happening.
The food, I think that we need to just do an offshoot, just food podcast.
I agree.
Solely for the fact that, like, CFD Foodies or
CFD
something.
CFD Eats.
CFD Eats.
Because that's amazing.
Yeah, because we're not stealing that from, like, Uber Eats.
It doesn't matter. Shut up.
Because we're actually eating. We're not delivering.
Right. We're not delivering food to these people. I'm eating it.
Yeah, no, it's delicious.
Yeah, yeah, so we're going to talk about that. In a few minutes.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it right
no,
now?
No, I don't want to talk about it right now. Okay. I want to quiz you on
okay,
stuff first. But we're gonna talk about food.
Yeah, in depth.
Because this food was unbelievable.
I can't imagine ever.
Last 2 days where the food had been awesome.
God.
So since we were in Yakima first.
Yeah, you go first.
I'm going to hit you with some Yakima trivia. All right, you ready, Jerrica?
Mm-hmm.
I've only got three today.
That's okay. I lowered mine, too.
Okay, great. So, here we go. What year was Yakima officially incorporated? 1883, 1889 or 1901?
Incorporated into the state or the territory?
That's cheating, because you're such a freaking history buff. The minute I say it, you're gonna get it. Incorporated into the territory.
The 1883.
Whatever.
Sorry, I love touring the Capitol and understanding my state facts.
Damn it.
Not sorry.
Okay. The water of the Yakima River irrigates what percentage of the hops grown in the United States? 15%, 35%, or 75%?
75%.
75%?
I know. Point. Isn't that incredible?
Oh my god.
The only reason I know that is because...
You drink a lot of beer?
No. My brother drinks a lot of beer.
Okay.
I'm going to throw that out there.
You just outed your brother as an alcoholic on this podcast.
Well, I mean, he's not going to listen either. Oh. Jokes. Jokes.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah, final one.
I feel confident.
You nailed two out of two.
I'm... Ow.
I feel like I didn't do a good enough job here.
No, I think this is an excellent job.
What is the name of the field on which the Yakima Airport is built?
Sir Bellingham. I feel like that's
We're still going Sir Bellingham. That's your
okay,
top
no, answer. Okay, okay. Yakima is like an airport field?
Yes.
Okay. It's around here.
Is it in Yakima?
Is it Sun...
Oh, that's Sun... a good idea. That's, I mean, it's a good guess.
Oh, it's not that, though.
No.
It wasn't Sun... I think it's Sun Fair? Sun Field?
It's Sun Fair. That's the
Sun Fair
we've
seen everywhere. Okay, yeah. So I don't know. What is it?
It's McAllister Field. Named after... okay. I mean, you're going to like this. It's a history book.
Okay, here we go.
It's named after Charlie McAllister, who was the first person to take off from that airfield.
That's interesting. I like that.
They just named it McAllister Field last year.
I'm still impressed that I got 2 out of 3.
You nailed 2 out of 3. Folks, that's the highest we've gotten so far. All right, let's talk about this food. Let's break this down. Let's make sure we
break
do
it down.
Let's talk about our Yakima.
Per bite.
Let's talk about our Yakima food first.
Break down by bite.
So we're going to talk about the Kennewick food that we've experienced when we talk about Kennewick.
Yeah, but Yakima first.
Yakima deserves its own spot.
So solely, we're only going to talk about the Yakima Minor Burger.
Minor Burger. So, for those people who know about sort of Yakima and have visited Yakima, some of you may have heard of the Miner's Burger.
And you're like, yeah, I know, I'm going to skip the next 5 minutes because I'm eating one right now.
Right.
I get you.
This is, for those who don't know, Miner's Burger is a old school drive-in.
I think it was like 1948. 48, it was, right?
So, it's an old school drive-in spot, but it has incredible... burgers and fries.
Incredible. Like, I'm not talking like your little, like, measly, like, size of your hand burger. I'm talking like, you gotta have two hands on this burger. It is massive.
Both of us ordered the...
Just the minor burger.
It's just the minor burger. It's one of the first things on the menu. It comes with your lettuce, your onions, your pickles,
tomato.
All that sort of stuff. And you get it. It's like the size of your face.
It is. It literally filled my face.
It was amazing.
And my stomach.
And the sign of a really good burger, in my opinion, is that it like falls out of your bone.
Oh, 100%. And right? Secondly, can we just say, like, when we went up to order, pleasant, wonderful
Very
people.
Nice people.
She goes, do you want curly fries, french fries, some other two options.
Tater tots. That's what it was.
Yeah, and we like looked at each other and were like, oh, definitely tater tots and curly fries. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you go any different than that?
Yeah.
When you have those options.
If you're offering me tater tots, and that tells me, as an establishment, that you're doing something with your tater tots that I don't do at home.
Right. I ain't just throwing those in the oven. You right. guys are doing something special.
I'm not taking you're not taking the Ora-itis.
Right.
And just throwing them in an oven so that they come out soggy. You're doing something with those tater tots.
Also,
that we're not doing.
I highly appreciate their onion choice was the Walla Walla sweet onion.
Excellent job.
Which is our state vegetable.
Okay, way to stick with the state vegetable. It made Jerrica very proud of
when I walked out of the establishment, I went, oh, it was a Walla Walla sweet onion. I deliciously engulfed.
So if you're in Yakima and you have been on a diet for 4 to 5 weeks, go to the Minor Burger.
Or if you've been on a diet of just burgers, still go to the Minor Burger.
It's delicious. I would say it rivals really any burger you're gonna eat.
I actually, so Philip was hyping this up all the way to there.
I was.
And by the time we were almost there, I was like, you know, I'm really nervous.
Like, I've overhyped it.
Like, what if I don't like it? He's like, oh my God, I shouldn't have said anything. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said. And I was like, it's fine. Like, we'll see. And then he gets up to go get some condiments for the fries and tater, or for the curly fries and tater tots. And I just like open this like gorgeously sealed foil and I open and I just take a bite. And by the time he got there, I was like halfway done. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had mustard and ketchup all over my face.
It was disgusting. I was going to tell you to clean yourself
up.
Yeah,
and I couldn't help it. I was just like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing burger.
So we are going to talk about the different charities. It's really an interesting Yakima. In and of itself is an interesting community,
yeah.
And the gifts that are given through Yakima are also very interesting. So number one...
Access to medical care. The second one is access to good education. In Yakima High School alone, actually graduation rates were 71%, which is actually, Washington State is 90%.
Significantly lower than Washington
which is about 20% lower than actually the state mm-hmm. average.
Yep.
Unemployment here in Yakima is actually at 8%, and the Washington State average is at 5.7%. Like, income, Yakima is actually lower again across Washington State, across the board. In poverty, Yakima is actually above. They're 20.5% compared to the 13.2% that Washington State holds.
Yeah, what I think this really expresses is a really unfortunate picture in that Yakima appears to be a fairly depressed community. I mean, you're talking about poverty, you're talking about income, unemployment, access to good education.
Medical care.
If you take away even the medical care portion of it, which in and of itself is a tough thing to talk about, you're looking at the metrics associated with education across the board.
Yeah.
Income, poverty, unemployment. I mean, it paints a fairly tough picture of that particular community.
Yeah.
So I think what's really tough about it is finding a way for a lot of these donors to make an impact on things that are really completely systemic.
Oh, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that for folks that... I think that's what... When you see, like... It's funny, when you look at these, you think to yourself, a charity like the United Way would seem to be fairly important in this particular community because they focus on those sort of three or four stables, which seem to be right in line with
right,
the stuff that's needed in Yakima. I think that, gosh, there's just a lot of work to be done.
I think there is a lot of work, but I do say that the volunteers that we met today, we met with Yakima, and then we also met with just interacting with community members throughout these are people that are willing to make that.
I think there's still that's what I love about this job. That's what I love about what we do. Despite this sort of like bleaker picture,
right.
You meet people, you get this energy from people, and you find yourself being hopeful when you leave a room that people are going to work really hard to try and change things.
I mean, we had a group of 20 people that we had people in there that were like, hey, welcome to the job. You're going to be CFD volunteers. And they had no idea what they're getting themselves into. And by the end of it, they were more ecstatic. You were telling a story earlier to me that the one lady was so excited.
Yeah.
And she was like, what else do I need to do? What else can I do? And I think that this is, we have an amazing job. And I think like United Way of Central Washington is in that same boat where we're here to help. We're here to try and answer those questions. Mm-hmm. We're here to try and make solutions and work directly with our communities. And I think Yakima and the people that are residents here are totally willing to do that. I mean,
seems like it. I mean, they definitely seem like they were willing to step up. They definitely seem like they were really pumped to make a difference. Yeah. A lot of times when you look at these numbers, and I think that happens a lot, and it happens a lot in just daily life, you tend to be like, well, there's so much need. There's so much going on. And you end up shutting down because you feel like, well, there's too much. I don't know what to do. And I think it was really fun to see people today pumped about the idea that they could get beyond that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was Yakima, and from Yakima we ended up driving ourselves driving ourselves here to Kennewick.
Which is always beautiful. I have great to say, drive. It is a great drive between
Yakima. Sneaky pretty drive.
It is. I don't think a lot of, I would even say, I don't think a lot of Washingtonians have taken a totally lot of that
agree.
Drive.
Totally agree.
Even like, so because I went to Eastern,
yeah.
like I never really ever drove between Yakima and Kennewick. Yeah. I went to Tri-Cities all the time, but I just never made my way that
such
direction.
A gorgeous drive.
And it is. It's a sneaky, pretty, beautiful drive. You're just going through vineyards and farms.
Yeah.
And it's just easy. It's like your hidden green gem.
That's really nice. You know? Good job out here. Good job out here, guys.
Great job.
Great job.
Great job.
So, would you rather? So, Jericho, which would you rather take first? Would you rather talk about food first, or would you rather quiz me first?
Oh, we're gonna do a quiz again.
All right, let's do it.
Kennewick trivia. Kennewick.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm pumped.
Yep. All right. So we have a two-part question first.
Mm.
Are you ready for this? Two-part.
You're going two parts. I like
two
it. Two-part.
First
two
part. What are the three cities that make up the name Tri-Cities?
Pasco, Richland, Kennewick.
Okay. Great job. Nailed that.
Excellent.
Part two of this question, though. Oh. Which one is the largest?
Oh, wow. Great question. I'm going to eliminate Pasco. Oh, yeah. I feel like it's Kennewick. I think I'm going to say Richland.
It's Kennewick.
Damn it!
I know. Oh! I know.
That was going to be my next guess.
It's crazy because you eliminated Pasco right away. You're just like, not Pasco.
Well, because I felt like when we drove through it, I was like, oh, well, there's Pasco and it's gone.
It was quick. The highway definitely makes it like, oh, turn left and you're going to go.
Yeah.
All right. Number two.
Okay.
Which will technically be three, but it's fine. We'll go number two.
Yeah. No, you're already cheating.
Kennewick is the host of what hockey team? Tri-City Americans, okay. Tri-City Centipedes,
okay.
KPR Rapids.
Oh my gosh. What was the second option?
Tri-City Centipedes.
I'm gonna eliminate Centipedes.
Okay.
You
have Tri-City Americans or KPR Rapids.
And I feel like KPR Rapids feels real. That feels real obscure. So and real and like focused. So I'm gonna say KPR Rapids.
It's Tri-City Americans. I made up KPR Rapids.
Did you?
I made up Tri-City Centipedes,
so
too.
I was going one way or the other. I was thinking to myself, Jericho either made up KPR Rapids or it's KPR Rapids.
I did.
Rapids.
I was like, what else can I make up?
Dang
and I was
it.
Like, oh, Kennewick, Richland, and Pasco, KPR Rapids. So, Kennewick's the host city of Oaxaca team is Tri-City Americans.
Okay.
Okay. But you did get one of three-ish.
I got a half point.
All right, last one.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, it's a tough one.
What attraction
that
is 107 years old
that
was brought over from Michigan to its home place here in Kennewick? Ride of Your Life roller coaster, Giza Carousel of Dreams, the J. Kennewick Youth Foundation. Fountain, sorry. The J. Kennewick Youth Fountain.
I don't think it's whatever the first one is. 100
Ride of Your Life roller coaster?
I feel like a 100-year-old roller coaster is not good for anybody.
You don't think the Ride of Your Life roller coaster?
What was the second one?
Giza Carousel of Dreams or the J. Kennewick Youth Fountain.
I'm going to go number two.
That's a good choice because it's right.
Yeah! That's my first one!
Yeah.
Oh!
That's a big attraction here in Kennewick.
Yes!
Yeah, congrats.
Wow.
You got 1.5.
1.5.
That's great.
That's actually pretty good.
1.5 out of 3 isn't awful.
No, I mean, it's all right.
I think that's a great one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit proud of myself.
I'm going to throw this random trivia because I actually scribbled it out and said I wasn't going to talk about it. But this is just random.
Yeah.
So you know.
Or you can ask me.
I'm just going to, it's not trivia. It's just a random thing. In Kennewick, what do residents spend most on? Apparel, entertainment, or food and beverages?
I'm going to say food and beverage.
You're right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because there's... that's because
it's the Minor Burger.
Let's...
Well, I guess not. Well, no, it's a Texas Roadhouse.
Let's talk food and beverage here.
Texas Roadhouse is...
I see the reason why people spend the most on food and beverage. Because their food and beverage is effing amazing. effing amazing.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
I like to censor myself for these podcasts, but it's not. I'm going to just say it right now. Yeah. It's so good that I can't, like, fully censor myself. It's effing amazing.
I would actually completely agree with our dinner tonight that we had at the Texas Roadhouse.
Okay, so
but I have to double down, though. Exactly. I have to double down, though, because of the start of it. When we rolled into town, we're like, I'm hungry. Where should we go? And we found the best place ever.
We did. So Kennewick has a larger Hispanic population. So you come here and you think to yourself, it would be great if we could find a nice local Mexican food place. Mm-hmm. We asked, and someone suggested the Azteca, and I was like, well, I can do that in Olympia, yeah. Right? But previously, I had heard from a group of our volunteers that I trained that this place called Tequera El Sazon,
which is incredible,
was this place you could go. At the time that they suggested it, it was cash only.
Yeah.
That's how, like, local and small this place was. Now, of course, they've expanded it, and you can bring your credit or debit card in. But needless to say, we decided we'd take a flyer on this place.
Yeah.
Go to Tequera El Sazon.
Now, write that down. Yelp it, and then mark it in your phone that you're going to head over to Kennewick, and you're going to eat there. So on your way from Yakima to Kennewick, mm-hmm. you're going to go to the Miner Burger, and then you're going to immediately go get a chimichanga.
Chimichanga. Okay. So they have incredible street tacos.
Yeah.
Right? The establishment's great. The people there were absolutely mm-hmm. lovely. Mm-hmm. They were just so nice and just so, like, so great.
Everyone here has been so great.
They've been really nice.
Yeah, you don't have, like, any cold shoulder freeze.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So we got there. Everyone's so nice. I ordered the street tacos, which I always like to order if I go to a restaurant that's feels more authentically mm-hmm. Mexican mm-hmm. because I just really love street tacos.
Yeah, and I decided to get the chimichanga and the enchilada.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I just doubled up on, like, 6 chimichangas.
Your chimichanga is one of the best things I've had in a long time.
I literally don't know how it was so incredibly amazing.
It was so unbelievable. You had this sauce.
It was like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to, like, cut into it. No big deal. Took, like, a little bite. And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. And, like, I had to cut you a slice right away. Like, I was like,
the thing about the sauce was, like, snuck up on you. So you had the chimichanga, which was good by itself because it's fried.
Well, and the thing is like, it's the crust of it that they made that I was like, the initial bite, you're like, wow, they cook this so well. And then all of a sudden, while you're, like, savoring that, all of a sudden the sauce that they used was like, oh, goodness. Like, that was like a melt-in-the-mouth moment mm-hmm. of like, well, this is all I want for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I don't think I scraped my plate cleaner than ever.
I know.
From that.
So tell me your theory on Mexican food in general. So I will tell you that I really actually love Mexican food, but I can't have it every day.
Oh, I'm totally different. I can have it every day. If that was my meal, if I was to pick the food for the rest of your life, that would be my go-to.
If you were to pick, like, a genre of food, Mexican food would be your everyday food, huh?
It would be my everyday food.
Wow. See, some of my best meals ever have been authentically Mexican food, right? But I can't have it every day.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's so interesting. I could literally have that. Like, I can't handle pasta every day. I'm not an Italian person. I can't, I can't do it every day.
Okay.
I honestly, what's funny enough, it's like, I couldn't even do, like, a hamburger every day. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. I like to have, like, my hamburgers few and in between.
Sure.
Like, I like to be like, I'm feeling a hamburger.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, Mexican food, I'm go, yep, that's, I could literally have any portion of that meal.
Wow. See, that's so interesting. I think most people think like you. I think there are a lot of folks who like really love
it. There's just so many options.
So then for dinner, we went to this place. I really wish they had this on the west side. I feel like it's a chain restaurant. I think I've seen it before.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm
not quite sure.
It's just such a like a Americanized title of a name.
West Siders, if you're listening to me, you need to have this come over to the west side of the state. It's called the Texas Roadhouse. That's what it's called. And, I mean, it's exactly what you would envision if you heard the term Texas Roadhouse. There's a Texas slash Chilean flag. So you walk in, and there's country music blaring, and there's steaks like they're lobsters out for you to
literally
see.
Literally, there's dirt on people's boots.
Dirt on people's boots. Shout out to that god-awful song.
Dirt on my boots. So you, burner.
Yeah. So you walk in and you head to the bar essentially the menu is just variations of steak.
All it needed to say was just steak, and that's it. I don't need anything else.
No. And, so what did you have?
Okay, so I had what they called roadkill.
Yes.
Which was excellent. So I got a medium rare roadkill, which essentially had, it was just steak.
Yep.
That they had grilled onions.
Some sort of cheese.
They had jack cheese on there. Then they also had sautéed mushrooms.
Yeah.
Delish. And I had a side of some Caesar salad and some mashed potatoes. Which were loaded.
Yeah, they were good.
Highly recommend. Yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah, and I had the, what was mine called?
Beef tips.
Beef tips.
Yeah.
Man.
That gravy sauce.
Brown gravy.
Oh my God.
Over medium rare beef tips with onions and mushrooms and then the mashed potatoes.
Well, like when I had the beef tip that I like grabbed from your plate, I was like,
holy moly.
I was jealous a little bit.
It was unbelievable.
Like, I love my plate, and then all of a sudden I was like, I should have got the beef tips.
Yeah, the beef tips were unbelievable.
Yeah, that's like all I wanted. That was just tasty.
So number one, if you're in the Kennewick area, go to the Texas Ranch House. First of all, you're going to have a really good time because it's like loud and kind of fun and kind of like nice and big.
And they dance.
They dance. They take a second. I'm sure the waiters and waitresses love that moment of their day. But this song kind of comes on and then they all start to line dance, which is very interesting. You can see their face go.
I'm sure they love it though.
Well, I mean, some of them probably.
Wink.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. And then, so if you're here in Kennewick, go to the Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, definitely.
And then to the west side, get a Texas Roadhouse. That's excellent.
So excellent.
But, yeah, so we've gone on about food enough, but it was just really good. Let's talk about Let's talk about some of the Tri-City community needs.
Okay.
We're not going to go too much over the top five charities. I just want to dive into, though, sort of the needs we see here, because I think that they're also quite interesting. So these are based, full disclosure, it was difficult to kind of narrow down sort of needs that we see in Kennewick and Tri-Cities. It's actually pretty tough to kind of narrow that sort of stuff down, maybe because it is the Tri-Cities, so it is a diverse community. It's spread across a pretty big landscape, so you might have varying needs across the board. But here are sort of the three that we found.
In Benton County
that are kind of fairly important. So first is hunger. So actually, hunger rates are relatively lower than the state average. The state average for hunger rates is actually 12.8. Mm-hmm. Here in Benton County, it's actually 11.3, so it's actually lower. But here's the deal. Even though it's lower, this number jumped out at me as I was looking at it. There's still 20,000 individuals who will go hungry tonight in Benton County.
That's really sad.
That's really unbelievable. That's pretty unbelievable. That's the other thing is percentages mean one thing. Sometimes the sheer number means something.
Well, I mean, just the sheer, 20,000 people, you can actually, like, tangibly think about how many people that is.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Education, Benton County is really kind of middle of the road in terms of graduation and dropout rates. They're ranked 20th in the state out of 39 counties. The one that is really interesting to me is kindergarten preparedness. So there are tons of statistics sort of tangibly that show how not having your child prepared for kindergarten. And really, the huge benchmark for a lot of education is third grade. If they're not prepared by third grade, they are more likely to drop out. They're more likely to go to jail. They're more likely to all these sort of incarceration rates, all this sort of stuff. And it really starts with pre-K education. And out here in Benton County, that is still a bit of an issue. There are, they talk about how only 40% of the kids who are going to kindergarten are actually fully prepared to go to kindergarten. And here's the craziest thing. That's below the state average, but the state average is still only 47%.
And that's the thing. That's only 50%, you know. And I mean, you were talking today about one of the resources that you and your family use is actually from Yakima. When we were talking to the United Way of Central Washington, which was the calendar to get prepared for, it's called the kindergarten calendar?
Yes, the kindergarten calendar.
Yeah, I mean, it's when they're like, well, we can send everyone some, and it's like, this calendar that we think super is cool. Excellent, and it's actually bilingual.
It's bilingual, it's Spanish and English, which out here in both Kennewick and Yakima is super important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you have a lot of folks who live out here whose English is second language, a lot of Hispanic folks live out here. And if you're going to change the dynamic of those family trees, like they're going to become successful kids, you got to have them. You got to have them.
And I think it's
kindergarten
excellent.
Ready,
right? And the kindergarten ready calendar, I think, is just like an
so
excellent
cool.
like reminder for parents, and it really helps like kind of keep everything on track. Mm-hmm. And it's just and like they're clearly trying to make a solution for that. And I really think that is an amazing attribute that they are really pushing for, is trying to fix this education rate, and it is starting younger.
Yep.
It's hard to fix it after third grade.
Yep.
It is, you know.
The final need that we kind of noticed, although it's really more universal, it doesn't really necessarily apply all the way to the Kennewick area, is actually homelessness. So according to the Seattle Times, I just wanted to bring this up, the homeless rate has jumped 8%.
Overall in this last year?
Over the last year.
Wow.
So in sort of the articles I was reading, that is sort of across the board in almost every single community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we're gonna have to watch. These numbers and the numbers we see in Yakima are what make charitable organizations so important.
Yeah.
In both communities and in sort of our community overall. Mm-hmm. There are very few people that are out there on the front lines working to fix these things, and these charities are doing what they can with so few resources. That's what makes what we do, what the volunteers do, what the charities do, so important.
Yeah.
So when we look at these numbers, it's easy to look at the numbers and be let down and sort of think this is really tough. But then I get hopeful because you sit in a room and you meet people who are.
I think that's what's really important, is to say, like, your community does recognize it. There's leadership in your community that does recognize these issues. So let's continue to try and continue to fund those projects that are trying to fight against hunger and fight against, or assisting, I guess you could say, in education and promoting those community needs.
Yep. So that's this episode of Safety Eats / Safety Episode.
Yeah.
We talked about food the whole time.
Well, I could talk about food all day.
I could talk about food all day.
I love food.
But
Food.
We want to thank you guys for listening to Podcasts for Good After Dark this time, and we will hit you later.
Yeah, definitely. And always shout out to us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And you all have a great night.
See ya.